Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, you were handed a bulletin. If you did not receive your bulletin, there's still more out there in our foyer. Inside is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill the side that says guest and members the opposite side. Any prayer concerns or announcements, please fill it out on that form and put an offering plate at the offering time. We're going to have our morning reading.
Good morning. I'd like to share from God's Word. Exodus 15, 1 and 2 says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. If you'd like to please stand and join us in singing.
Above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever, God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is.
each other this morning.
Let's come back to our seats, if we will. All right, there we go. All right, everybody can have a seat as well. Once a year, we try to choose a Sunday. For several years, it was always on the same Sunday, but some events have kind of changed, and so we have moved this special day. You can see in your bulletin, we want to introduce for the first time our new ministry team leaders for 2023. Before we do that, I just want to thank many of these that we're going to be mentioning. I know we got some new ones on our list this year, but I want to thank everyone that served this past year. This church, of course, would not get nearly as much done or accomplished if it wasn't for willing workers and especially leaders of our teams. I'll tell you now so you don't have to ask later or try to count, but I love the 45 five plus ministries that we had up on our walls, we have 34 that are in play this year. And of those 34 ministries, 22 leaders will lead those 34 ministries. And so that to me is wonderful. I think it's going to be a game changer. It always is when we can get our leaders, new leaders, up and running and doing what I think God wants you to do, and that is use a gift, a special gift or talent or both that you have, and to use it for the betterment of this church. As I call out your name, if you're here, again, if you would come, make your way forward, and we're not going to wait till you get here to go to the next one, but if you can start making your way to the front, if you can, and just line up across the front here, and we're going to have a prayer after this is done, but I just want to make sure everybody knows who our leaders are. I realize that some are not here, some are out of town, but I'm still going to mention their name and the ministries that they may be involved with. I think up on our screen we'll have a list as well. Some of them have even more than one, more than two, and so you'll be able to just glance and see that if you wish. All right, so Carol Barrow, if she's here, if she'll make her way to the front, she's going to be leading three ministries this year for the first time, and she's going to be leading our drama ministry, our puppet ministry, and our outreach ministry. April Kelly, if she's here, she's going to be co-ministering in the children's ministry and also in charge of the sign and marquee ministry. Julie Bowman probably can't be here. She's probably in the back, but she's in that ministry, I guess. She's in the nursery, I believe. Is she not? Is she in the nursery? Yes, and so she's back in the nursery, and that's what she'll be doing. Charlotte Carson is out of state, actually, but she's in charge of our cookie ministry. Chico Carbajal is going to be leading our facilities, landscaping, and mowing. Karen Carbajal, is she here? Yes. She's going to be co-leading with her husband in the area of landscaping and mowing as well. Bob Bocott will be leading the baptism ministry, our prayer ministry, not to be confused with our prayer chain. There's a prayer ministry and a prayer chain ministry, but he'll be leading the prayer ministry and also our security for this year. That's Bob Wilcott. Gail will be leading our card ministry here in the church. Don Herring will be leading the homeless ministry as well as the servers ministry for this year. Luann Herring leading our
She's shopping.
she'll be leading our communion ministry, hopefully shopping for bread and grape juice for our service later. Maureen Paulson will be leading our Women of the Word ministry. Judy Perry leading the prayer chain ministry. And I don't know if you can come, but you don't have to, Judy, if you don't. But we appreciate all that Judy does in that ministry. Angie Gillespie will be continuing to lead the church cleaning ministry. Barbara Bailey, don't think she's here today, but she'll be leading our fellowship ministry as well as our Operation Christmas Child. Some have been asking about that. One of the reasons why we haven't had it is we haven't had someone that wanted to lead it. And but this year, we have someone that wants to do that, and that'll be Barbara Bailey. So you'll hear more from her as we get closer to the end of the year with that particular ministry. Joey Sita, leading our music. Joe Sita. And Joe's here today. Yay. All right, I know it's been a long road road to get back here, but we're glad that he's here today. But now he's going to be leading the coffee or cafe ministry out there in our foyer, and also the kitchen ministry. Becky Sita will be doing our greeters for this year. Eric Hance and Stacy Hance, don't leave. Just there you go. Stand up back there. All right, they're leading our sound, light, and computer ministry, and they're on duty right now. Sarah is probably in ministry. She's going to be co-leading with April the children's ministry and also taking on the resource room. Max will be doing the youth, and I will be doing Christians in Action, missions, and new members. All right, so here's, did everybody I call, are they all up here? Nobody's dragging their feet, all right. Sometimes those youth ministers, you gotta stir them up here a little bit. All right, very good. All right, so this is our group, minus those that are out of town or out of state right now. But I want to offer up a prayer. I hope you will be praying for all of our ministries, but as I've done the last few years, I want you to look up here and just look across the way here. You know some of these individuals better than others, but I want you to focus in on just one. Just one. And I'm going to ask you to not only pray for that one today, but that this year you're going to, that person may not know it, but I want you to be that person's prayer partner all year long. I want you to pray for that leader. I want you to occasionally ask or listen carefully, maybe when they stand up and give a plea or a report, and then to pray and pray and pray. These leaders are under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. It's not accidental, I don't think, that some are under attack because Satan doesn't want this church to function. These ministries are crucial for the success of our ministry for an entire year. And protecting these with prayer, I think, is so important. So we're all going to pray today. I'm going to pray for all of them today. But I hope that you'll pick out one, just one leader, one person that you'll commit yourself to for the entire year. And that'll just be between you and God. But I hope that you'll do it. If you wish to tell that person, that's fine too. But then that person may be coming to you with more prayer requests if they know that you've taken them on. And so just know that's how that works sometimes. So let's bow our heads. We're going to pray for these leaders here today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment and in this service once a year where we try to recognize the leaders that are going to step out, Father, for an entire year. They're going to be trying to use gifts and talents that you've given to them. They're going to be trying to meet needs and concerns within our body. We pray, Father, that you will watch over them, that you will protect them. We know there's an enemy out there that does not want to see any church be successful, yet alone to grow and to reach the lost, which is dear to your heart. And I pray that because these 22 leaders have stepped up to the plate, because we are tackling 34 different kinds of ministries here within our church, I pray that with your power, with your Holy Spirit active and working, I pray that at the end of the year we can report a grand report that shows that because of the efforts of all these individuals up here, we were able to accomplish much for your kingdom here at South Haven. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's thank these individuals. have me have a seat now.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to sing We All Bow Down.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we'll will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. And the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever his love will reign. And we'll all bow down. The kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. He is the kings will surrender their crown.
We got some prayer requests here from some people, and so one is from Elaine, our friend of Carol's, Carol Barrows. She's having a surgery on her back, and Kim Riggins, she's still got a lot of pain, and she can't be here with us yet. Carolyn Mulligan, her back is bothering a lot too. And Yuri Parrish having a procedure done on Tuesday. Praise for Joe Cedar. We got him back, and everything, good reports from the doctor said that no cancer on his body, no cancer left. So that's a big praise there, and we see him here that he's doing good, and yeah, glad to see him back with us. Another one said, continue praying, and for you know, we've been praying for Ginger's sister, which is here with us today, and she still needs prayers, and Ginger needs prayers too, because Terry, she lost her husband a couple months back, and it's been hard on her, so we need we still continue praying for Terry and Ginger, and I'm glad to have them with us today. So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for this morning. May you touch each one that's here this morning, they walk into the doors, for making an effort to be in your house. May you bless each one, and we know that we all we all have a problems and health problems, most of us, and may you touch each one, and may our sickness would get better, Lord, and we know with your help. We do pray for these names that we mentioned, and may you be with each one and help each one. Elaine back as she having surgery, we pray that you everything that you guide the doctors to do the best job as they can, that they train for, that everything go well at the end. May you bless Elaine, and we do pray for Kim. We miss her, we haven't seen her in a while, but we know that she's still suffering from pains, and may you be with her and help her to get better so she can join us again soon. Pray for Carolyn Mulligan, her back's bothering also, so be with her and help her to feel better and to get plenty of rest and be with us maybe next week. In other words, for Judy Perry, as she having a procedure done this Tuesday, so just be with her, be with the doctors, and so they can do their best on what they train for, and may Judy feel better after that. And praise for Joe Cedar that you took him on through it. We all been praying for a while, for months, and we know you hear our prayers, and you want us to come and ask for your help, and we help, and we see the answers, and praise for Joe that's doing good, and I still need a little more healing, but cancer is gone, and so may you keep it gone forever, so he don't have to worry about it. We pray for a good report when he go back in 6 months, I will leave, so we pray for the good news then too. We do it to thank you for Ginger and Terry. They're here this morning with us, and we've been praying for them. And Terry's lost of her husband, and we're sorry about that. And just ask to continue to be with these two ladies, these two sisters, that they love each other and helping each other, and they are holding their hands, and just be with them and help them the rest of the way. And we thank you that are worshiping here with us today. And Lord, we just ask you to be with the ones who can be here for sickness or traveling. And we know that Gail's at home and is not feeling well for the cough, and we know it's been going on. And so we pray that you protect your people, and may we make it right on through it. And we thank you for today. Thank you that we're able to call on your name. In the name of Jesus, we call on you, and we thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many dreams I wish they
for. So many dreams I wish they all could come true. But when I think about your ways, Lord, it gives me so much faith in all that you do.
Been a lot going on, hasn't there, in the last 6 months? As I was thinking and praying about doing this meditation, I thinking about our Lord and Savior, and you know, Jesus was not only a man, he was God. And he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He was God who created the universe. He was God who turned the water into wine. He was God who healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He walked on water. All these things were done so that you and I might believe in him. And we're told that many other things were done that were not mentioned in the Word of God. That was the God side. You know, if you'd have told me 6 months ago that Dale, you're about to enter a season that you've never experienced before. We're going to have a great flood. It's going to flood your home. You're going to have to leave. You're going to be out for months. Not going to be sleeping in your own bed. I did that because I said I wasn't going to shave till I got back in my bed. I'd have said you're nuts. Colleen and I often talk about this. You know, it's great that we don't know what's ahead of us. You know, things will come along that'll rock your socks. Ask Joe. Ask me. Ask others in here. It's good that we don't know. But here's the thing that I want you to see. When Jesus was in the upper room, he instituted the Lord's Supper. He had his followers around him. They got up. They left. They went to Jesus' favorite place. They went out to the garden to pray. As Jesus prayed, here's the man side thing. We're told that he sweat great drops of blood. Can you imagine that? You know, if you'll ask someone in the medical profession, they'll tell you, oh yeah, that's possible. The capillaries break down on the skin and blood flows from it. Because of stress. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that a group of men were coming to get him. He knew that he would be convicted. And he was sinless. He knew that they would drive this crown of thorns on his head. Blood would flow down his face and body. And he knew this was coming. He was God. He was not only man. He knew the pain that he would have to endure when they drove the nails through his hands and through his feet, and when they stuck the spear in his side. He was God. But he was also man. He knew what was coming. I think, I couldn't help but this, as this was running through my head, there's a song that we used to sing. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did this for you and me. He could have changed. He could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. They're not worth it. He didn't do that. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He went to the cross because he was the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. That's the only way it could happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for making a way for us to get to heaven, for coming down to earth, for showing us the way, for all that you've done. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
this time, then we can come and be around your table, Father. We thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us, the way you just watch over us and just take care of us, Father. We bring back a portion of that to you now, Father, through these tithes and offerings. We pray that you'll help use it to go and further your kingdom in this community, Father, and also through the world, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, I invite you to turn with me to the third book of our New Testaments, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. We'll be looking at a verse there for today. Hopefully you received a bulletin as you entered our building. There within the bulletin is an outline. You can see we're in a long series of messages here. We're on number nine here today. You can see the other eight that are listed there for you under the introduction there that we've looked at. Last week we focused in on this ingredient that I called resolve. And we learned that if we want to develop the same kind of resolve that our Lord had in his life, especially toward lost people, then two things must happen. Two things must take place. First of all, we must have a clear goal in mind. When Jesus came into this world, his goals were clear. You might say two, maybe three, and how you want to divide it up, but he certainly said more than once that his goal was to come to seek and to save the lost. Now, as you look at that statement, I think these other two things are just part of that. In order to save sinners, Jesus knew, as we were just informed, and Dale sharing that communion meditation today, reminding us that someone had to die. A perfect sacrifice had to be placed before the Almighty God. And that was Jesus. And so he knew when he came into this world that he was going to die. That was a goal. I also think that as he left this world, he shared another goal that we might not have known if he didn't tell us. And that is he is going to a place, or he's going to prepare a place for us. And those would be all those lost sinners that he found. He wants to take them to be with him forever. My question is as we try to apply this to our lives, and we did this last week, do you have clear goals in your mind? I hope you do. I do. My goals are crystal clear. I want to save a neighbor. Now, I have many neighbors, and along the way I may save more than one, but I'm going to save a neighbor. That's a goal. I work with four non-Christian co-workers. I have a goal. I want to save one. I like to save them all, but I'm going to focus on one. That's a goal. All of them are going to be influenced. We'll see which one takes the bait, because I'm fishing for men. I'm fishing for souls as well, and I like to see them saved just as Jesus did. The other item that we looked at, that if we want to have this resolve that is so important, is that you must have a relentless desire to reach that goal. You can't give up. And I realize that along the way, we're going to have challenges from people on the outside, and we're going to have challenges from people on the inside. I'm not surprised with the challenges that come from outside. I know that Satan is the prince of this world. I know that he wants to destroy the church, and I know his attacks are vicious. What sometimes catches me off guard is the attacks from inside. You know, here I am trying to win, let's say, a husband, and I realize that the wife is working against me. That surprises me sometimes, or vice versa. Something's happening, comments are being made, which is not helping the cause. And so we got to be ready for those. We got to be ready, and we can't give up. You know, as frustrating as that is for me sometimes, and I see doors open and close right before my very eyes because these challenges come to me, I realize that I just have to keep going. I have to keep praying, pray for another open door, pray that I get another chance. But that's where relentlessly reaching and driving for those goals and never giving up. Now that brings us to our today's ingredient, which kind of goes hand in hand, I think, with resolve, because as you resolve to do something, the question has to be, well, how quickly? How quickly do I have to get this job done? And that's what we want to look at here today. Resolve is one thing, but urgency is another. And it does have, I would suggest to you that urgency has a lot to do with alarms. Do you know that alarms are important and necessary within our lives? Do you know that? Most of us begin our day, think about it, begin our day with the sound of an alarm startling us out of a complete, snug, and relaxed state, usually. But if we stop to think about it and focus on the results of what's going on, alarms are actually quite positive calls to action. Think about it. The sounding of an oven alarm tells us what? The cookies are ready. The sounding of a dashboard alarm in your car means that you left your headlights on, perhaps, and because it went off, you were able to turn the lights off, knowing that you won't have to be looking for jumper cables after work today. The sounding of a fire alarm means that there is perhaps a fire in the building, and now you have a chance to maybe make it to the exit before danger hits. The sounding of my neighbor's car alarm means absolutely nothing. It just keeps on and keeps on. The sounding of an alarm clock means that A day full of opportunities has begun, and it's time to get out of bed and to start moving down that road, doing whatever I can. It's interesting, God sounded his alarm to his people through the prophet Isaiah, saying in Isaiah 60 verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." When Jesus' followers sleep, lost people, just know, are in jeopardy. God has a plan for his church to be at rest, I believe, one day, but it's not on this side of heaven. He doesn't want his church to be at rest. That's why, through Paul, the Apostle Paul, God sounded the alarm to the Christians at Rome. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, he writes, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Romans 13, 11. That's why, through the Apostle John, God sounded the alarm to the church. When John writes to the church at Sardis, over in Revelation chapter 3, let me read verses 2 and 3 here. As he writes, he says, Jesus writing here, or speaking, he says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." I think it's clear that there are these alarms that are out there that the Lord has sent. You may not hear it, but the alarm is sounding in our world and in our country. Do you hear it? Do you hear them going off? On any given day, 700,000 people receive treatment for alcoholism. Nearly half, 46% of all 15 to 19-year-olds in the United States have had sex at least once. We know that as a fact. 1,500 children in the United States die every year from child abuse and neglect. That's a huge alarm going off. Every second, over $3,000 is being spent on pornography in our country. The divorce rate in America for first-time marriages, I think we probably all have heard this figure, is 50%. How about the second marriage? 67%. This one concerns me. A major conservative evangelical denomination did their due diligence, did some research, and found that within 2 years after graduation, 96% of their high school students leave the church. 96%. Less than 30% eventually return years later. Only 30% return back. Every day, 146,357 people die. We know that as a fact. Every hour, 6,098 people die. Every minute, 102 people die. Can you hear the alarms going off? The alarm is sounding. They're going off everywhere. Urgency is being called for when it comes to evangelism. What is it going to take to get the church, Christ's church, to wake up and to get to work? From what I read in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the alarm is sounding, I think, for two reasons. I want you to turn to Luke now. Luke Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The Lord is speaking here. Let me just read verse 1 to catch the context, and then verse 2. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place where he was going, where he was about to go. He told them, the them are the 72 now, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. As I look, I was very familiar with this passage of Scripture before this message, but I see it in a slightly different way here today. How important is it to get the harvest brought in at just the right time? I talked to our resident farmer here in the church, and I asked him that question. I said, when the field is ripe for harvest, your field, I'm sure you know that your different crops probably have a certain window where you know about what time it's ready to harvest, but you also probably know, and I was just confirming this with him, you probably also know the day when it's too late. And he just shook his head, yes. And I said, when the harvest window closes and you know it's too late, what do? Throw it out. It's no good. It's too late. Plow it under. I don't think I've ever looked at that passage with that kind of farming understanding of the harvest. I've always told people the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ready. But I never told anybody, you know, we only have so long. Harvest fields, whatever crop we're talking about, harvest fields of wheat or corn or broccoli or you name it, if it's not harvested at the time that it's ready to be harvested, then there are problems and difficulties and maybe the loss of the entire crop. This is where urgency comes in. This is why when you look at the life of Jesus, the moment he ended up here on this earth, of course he was born as a baby and he had to grow, but the moment his ministry, adult ministry began, I don't think you saw Jesus rest very much. He saw the harvest and it was ready. It was not time to rest. It was not time to take a break. It was not time to say, well, I can wait another day, another week, another year. You know, what's the big hurry? And I run into that today when it comes to the harvest of souls. Oh, preacher, it's not that important. We can do that next year. No, 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 no. Now, today, soon as possible, because the harvest is ready. And when I read verse 2, I see that there are two reasons why this alarm is sounding. The first reason is because the harvest is ready. With great urgency, Jesus assembled a group of people to help him bring in the harvest. He had already sent out the 12 disciples to start bringing in that harvest, but he added more, and we read that right there in verse 1 of chapter 10. He sent out 72 more, two by two. And he told them, go, the harvest is ready. My question to you is, if the harvest is ready, can you see it? See, I'm convinced that there are a lot of Christians that don't see the harvest. Fields that are white unto harvest is just farming terminology to tell you that it's ready, white. Now's the time, now's the day to do whatever you can do. But if you can't see the harvest, and that goes back to last week setting our resolve, and that is resolving to do something, you have to have a goal. And the goal is to reap the harvest. And guess what? The Lord of the harvest has prepared it for us. We don't have to go out. I always tell people, We're to plant seeds, yes, but guess what? A lot of seeds have been planted before we even got here. I can tell you a lot of souls that I've saved is not because of my planting. It was the planting of somebody else, but I finished the job. I harvested the crop because someone along this journey planted a seed, and sometimes it was years ago, but now that person is ready. The person who planted the seed is not even around anymore. Yes, I do my due diligence. I plant seeds. I realize that there'll be people that will take advantage of my planting. That's the way it goes. But we don't have to plant a seed and then wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for that seed to take root. If you just look around, that's why I'm asking. Do you see the harvest? Do you see the people that need the Lord? I do every day. When I walk out of my porch, I know my 4x4. Every house has a non-Christian in it. I know that. So I look. I watch. I wait. Every day I go to work, I work with 4 non-Christians. Don't think that's accidental. And I witness every day by my life, by my witness. And usually one gets an invitation of something. The sun is shining. The harvest is ready. We must, with a sense of urgency, work to bring in that harvest. That harvest may look different from your angle, from your perspective. It might be a coworker, but it might be a coworker who's crying at lunch when you ask her about things at home. It might look like an elderly neighbor who sits by himself on the front porch of his house next to an empty chair where his spouse used to sit. It might look like an angry boss who asked you why you go to the men's prayer group before work on Thursday morning. It might look like the classmate you've reconnected with on Facebook. That might be the harvest that comes before you. It might look like a young couple at the end of the street that seems just a bit overwhelmed trying to take care of their 3 little kids these days. It might look like a person you're going to eat with at McDonald's next Wednesday because you want to eat with them in heaven one day for eternity. The harvest is ready, folks. I hope you can see it. And if you can see it, do you pray for it? But there is a second reason why this alarm is being sounded. Sometimes we don't focus on the second as much as the first. And the second reason is that workers are few. That's an alarm. That's a huge alarm going off. Look there at Luke chapter 10, verse 2 again. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, here it comes, but the workers are few. Jesus doesn't necessarily need all skilled workers to bring in the harvest. He might be looking for workers, though, who have at least these two qualities here. Did you see the first one there in that text? The workers are few, but then he says, pray. Pray. For more workers. How often have you done that? Have you prayed to the Lord of the harvest for more workers to go in the field? To harvest. Let me tell you, there is nothing worse for a farmer than to have the harvest ready, but not have enough help to bring in the harvest. I drive through Hastings, Palatka. A lot of farm country. And I watch them rotate their fields. I see empty fields, and then I see them plowed, and then I see little green specks, and then I see the green growing, and then all of a sudden I see a harvest. Now when I see that harvest, I know what comes next. And I'm looking every day. I'm looking for what comes next. You know what comes next? The harvesters. And it's not long before I see a field just inundated with hundreds of people cutting or pulling or whatever it is, whatever that crop is. And they just go right down the line. Bam, 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 bam. Some crops use machinery, but a lot of the crops there in Hastings, it's all hand done. Has to be done by hand, or they wouldn't be able to do it properly. Norman Fleck was a farmer who thought he was going to lose his harvest. He was a wheat farmer in South Dakota who was unable to bring in his harvest because he had suffered a spinal cord injury. He was in a ATV accident, and he was partially paralyzed. Now, family and friends had been helping Norman and his family all during the summer to prepare the harvest, but now that the fields were ready, the wheat fields were ready to be harvested, he knew he was in trouble. And that's where Farm Rescue came in. I don't know if you're familiar with Farm Rescue, but Farm Rescue is a nonprofit organization that plants and harvests crops free of charge for family farmers who need help because of a crisis or a sickness in the family. Norman knew that his situation was urgent, and so from his hospital bed, he contacted Farm Rescue representatives to see if they might be able to aid him and to help bring in the harvest, his wheat crop. And of course, they agreed. Farm Rescue came in just the nick of time and saved Norman's wheat harvest because the people sent by the Farm Rescue to help him were skilled workers, people who understood what needed to be done in order to bring in the harvest. That's what Jesus is needing his church to do. We are church rescue, so to speak. We are the harvest rescue. He wants us to send skilled workers into the fields. But what I want you to see here is that not all of them have to be the same. There are some workers that can be doing something that maybe some other workers may not be doing. And that's what I want to share with you as we close here today. I think Jesus needs workers who will pray. That is front and center in that verse. Look at it again, verse 2 and 3 of chapter 10. First, Jesus needs workers who will pray for the harvest. And in particular, workers who will ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into that harvest field. Come on any Wednesday night, and I think we do that here pretty successfully. We also pray for the 1040 window. I told you we'll be praying every week for a different country. There are over 100 countries in the 1040 window. Do you realize that? 3/4 of the world's population falls in the 1040 window. Most of those countries, nobody, particularly Christians, can get into them. So it's just who's there. And there are Christians in all those countries, but they need our prayer. We will not be able to go and harvest their fields. We will not be able to go and do extraordinary things in those countries. That's why they've only asked us to do what this scripture says, and that is to pray. Come out on Wednesday night. We need skilled laborers who will pray. Pray for the harvest. Pray that that underground church that finds itself in a world where 3/4 of the population are in restricted countries where the gospel cannot freely be preached, but the harvest is still there. People are still being won, and we need to pray for them. Have you ever asked the question after you read that verse, why would Jesus ask us to do something he already knows we should be doing? Why are we doing something that he knows that we should be doing? You got to ask that question sometimes. I don't know if there's a clear answer, so I've come up with a couple maybes. Maybe he wants us to do this praying for the harvest. Maybe he wants us to know that we want the lost people of this world saved as much as he does. And maybe if we're praying, he'll sense that. Or maybe he wants to know that we know that without him, the Lord of the harvest, there would not be a harvest at all. He makes it happen. Maybe he wants us to ask him to send workers because it confirms we understand that we can't do this by ourselves. You cannot win the world. I cannot win the world. But you know, we can reach this whole world for Jesus with the help of the Lord. He can open doors. He can make opportunities available. And I think that when we make the harvest a priority, and it becomes urgent within our life to see our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers saved, because we know the consequences if they don't, then I believe that we are moving down that road. But then the second thing I want you to see here is that the prayer is to pray for those people to become available, but we also want to pray that they what? Go. That they go into those fields. And I would just tell you that I think the best way to reach people for Christ, in my opinion, is to go where they are. For a long time, I always thought that the best thing that we could ever do for non-Christians is to invite them to church. And don't get me wrong, I think that there's always great opportunities for us to invite them to our church and to share in special services that we might have. But you know, the Great Commission doesn't say, wait for the non-Christians to come to your church and then win them to Christ. Jesus never said wait when it came to the harvest. Jesus always said, go into the world. And so I believe that there is something about us realizing that, yes, when we have opportunity to invite, we need to invite people. I think the church is a place where people get introduced to Jesus in lots of ways. But I'm convinced there are more people won to Christ out in the world than they are in the church building. I really do, because that's where the field is. That's where the harvest is. And so we got to be careful that we don't just assume that, you know, well, we got to have something special always going on down at the church house so we can get our neighbors and our friends and everybody to come to something special, you know, some kind of eating service or some kind of unforgettable service. No, we need those services, but I don't think we need them all the time if we're going. I'm in the workplace. For a long time in my first ministry, people say, you don't understand how hard it is in the workplace. And you know, now after being in the workplace, I understand what they were saying. Because for the last 15 years, I've been in the workplace. I chose to be in the workplace because I know that's where the fields are. I wanted to work side by side with non-Christians. I wanted to be a light somewhere. I wanted to shine. I was telling other people to do it all the time, but I was never in the workplace. I never was there to see what they were going through. But let me tell you get in the workplace, you got to deal with profanity. You got to deal with coarse joking. You got to deal with anger. You got to deal with disagreements, maybe not so much anger, but just I don't like you. Not mean, they're not talking about me, but they don't like other people. And here I am trying to get people to work together. It's awful. But all the time I'm reminded, that's the field. And somebody in that field might be ready to do something, and I need to be available. That's why when I walk out on my porch every day, I look to the left, to the right, across the street, and as I get in my car and turn the corner, I look to the house behind me. Is there anybody outdoors? Is there anybody walking around? Is there anybody I've not talked to in a while? And I pray before I move off of that front porch, Lord, if there's someone that you want me to speak to, make them available. I'm looking. I will go across the street. I will engage them. And more times than not, guess what? By the time I turn the corner, there's somebody getting out of a car, getting in a car, someone opening their garage door. And I jump out and I run around. I say, hey, Lee, how's it going? Need any help there? Nah, I'm all right. Okay. Saw you struggling there with that motorcycle. I'll help you. Nah, I'm okay. Okay. Let me close. I'm going to close with this. Most of us remember the aircraft that took off there in New York, and a bird ended up in the engine, and Scully, Captain Scully, had to make it. You talk about alarms going off. Every alarm in that cockpit was going off. He knew
He wasn't going to make it. Even though they were trying to redirect him to another airport to land, he knew that he was in trouble. So he did the only thing that he was trained to do, and that was to find as soft of a landing place as you can. And he saw the Hudson River, and he swung around, missed the bridge just barely by 900 feet, came on down, and he landed that plane right in the middle of the Hudson River. Beautiful job. We saw pictures. He knew that he had to get everybody out, though, now, as quickly as possible, because he knew the plane was going to sink. So I remember those pictures. People were being pushed out the windows, getting on the wings of the plane. The slide was activated, so it could float, and so there were some people in that. Boats were coming, but immediately they just got them all out on the wings so that they could easily either jump off or jump in a boat as quickly as they could. What I didn't know about the story, that it makes sense, is that Captain Scully, after everybody was out, went back in. He was told everybody was out, but didn't matter. He went back in. Plane's sinking fast. He walks to the far end of the plane, turns around, comes to the front. And then he does it again. Then he exits. Why? Why did he do that? He wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure everybody was off that plane. And he was looking. Probably looked down every row as he was walking down. The second time is what kills me. He did it a second time. You would think he'd be thorough the first time, but he goes back and does it again. And then he comes out. Everybody's off. How many times do we walk through our neighborhoods and ask who might need to be saved? How many times do we go to our place of work and ask, who is it that maybe I can influence today? And if you've done it once, my question is, are you sure? You see, that's why every day I ask, Lord, Lord of the harvest, is there someone in this neighborhood that I can save? Is there somebody I've missed? I've done better than most, I think. I think I know all my neighbors by name. After this year, I'll have them all in my house. I've had most of them in my yard because I had a cookout at a dinner. So I've had every neighbor at my house, but not inside yet. But every neighbor is going to be invited to a dinner. I'm going to know them all. I want them in heaven. I want to eat with them now. So we can eat together at that great banquet that will be laid out for us there in heaven. You know, when Jesus was here, he told a parable and he says, go out to the highways and the byways. Go out to your neighborhoods. Bring them in. The people that should be here don't want to be here. God's chosen. The Israelites rejected him. He says, bring in the sick. Bring in those that are hurting. I want them in my house. We got to go into the fields, folks. Let's be a Captain Scully, though. Let's make sure. Let's walk the aisle more than once. Let's walk the neighborhood more than once. Let's make sure that we're doing all that we can to see people saved forever. Urgency is needed because the fields cannot stay ripe forever. And once that day comes and that window closes, there is no more hope. We have an hour, spiritually speaking, for it's all over. Today, the sun is out. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to reap the harvest that is prepared for us. May we do that to the best of our abilities. As we come to our time of invitation today, there may be someone here that's outside of Christ, and each Lord's Day we extend an invitation and an opportunity for someone to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you need to do that, I pray that you'll come right now as we stand and sing our hymn of decision.
See.
I was talking to Teresa before the service, and I said, "What you doing here?" And she says, "Oh, I had this overwhelming feeling that I needed to be here today for my sister." And I said, "Really?" "Yep." And now you have to know, I knew something as I asked that question. But now I'm telling Teresa up here that maybe you're here for more than your sister. Maybe you're here for you. Because I already knew that we had talked, and that we are scheduled this week, Tuesday, to meet. And we're going to be studying salvation. She's already indicated that she knows that she needs to be saved, and we're going to take that step by step. We're going to do it by the book. We're going to study, make sure that she knows that pathway. I think she knows the end. The end goal is to make Jesus Lord of her life. I just want to make sure that from A to D, we know the path that we're following and why we're doing it, and we're going to study that on Tuesday. Now, her coming today was a surprise to me, and she has come down, and so I believe not accidental, I don't think at all, or coincidental. And so what I'm going to do, we've done this a few times, what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to take her confession today. And then we're going to pray for her. I think it's important that if she felt enough strength and power to walk down an aisle, which is not easy to do for somebody, to pray for this Tuesday, because you see, I know there's a battle for souls, and I would be telling her, especially now that she's here on this Sunday, I'd be telling her we need to do everything we can to make sure that Tuesday does not slip past and something what looks like a coincidence takes place. That's where I need all of you praying. We've already set up the appointment. We're going to meet Tuesday, 6 o'clock, and at Ginger's house. So there you know the details. 6 o'clock, Ginger's house, Tuesday, three people need to meet. And we need to make sure that that happens, hopefully without incident, and that we take the spiritual high ground here by just praying in advance and asking the Lord of the harvest to protect and to make sure that this happens today. And so, Teresa, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you will.
Can I say something?
You can. If you feel...
Yeah. I lost my husband a month ago yesterday, and, you know, on your Facebooks... you have past memories that show up, and today my past memory of 2 years ago is a picture of me and my husband. We have wings behind us, and between my face stained in the Bible and my husband looking at me, today was supposed to have been for my sister because she has been my rock from day one. But I felt grief in her for something. I don't even know what I put on. I just jumped in my car and ran up here. I live deep in Palm Coast. So my day was for my sister. But actually, with the passage that we heard, my sister harvested me. She pulled me. I am a strong worker. She is a strong worker that prays. And she harvested me into this church today. I love you.
Mm. All right, very good. All right, so I would like to, this whole process has to start with a confession and a faith, and I want you to see that Teresa's here to start that process. So I'm going to ask her, if you will, to repeat after me.
Yes.
The good confession. I believe that Jesus Christ...
I believe that Jesus Christ...
is the Son of the Living God.
Is the Son of the Living God.
And I now accept him.
And I now accept him.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
All right, congratulations for sharing that with us. All right.
My face is a little.
All right. Now you can go back. All right. Do you need a last name? I'm asking them. I know what your last name is. I'm just asking, do y'all need a last name, or is Teresa enough? If you need a last name, just add Smith, and don't get it confused. That is Teresa Smith that we are praying for, and no relations, but I like that name Smith. You know, that's a good name, and so let's keep her in prayer. You can see her, find her today if you wish, but next Sunday, I'm just letting you know, next Sunday, our schedule, our plan, see, have a clear goal in mind. Our goal is to study this week for her to then be here next Sunday, and we'll watch her be immersed into Christ, and then I will definitely have her in the back so that you can greet her. And congratulate her on that decision as well. I want you to know that we have a plan, and we're going to work that plan. And I just didn't know she was going to come today. And so that to me is important, though, because if she felt enough to come, I think we need to feel strong enough to pray now for the whole process, because it's revealed. It's out in the open. Satan hates things that get out in the open, because more people are doing things that are so important. And so we covet your prayers as we make this happen this week. Any other announcements that we need to make here today? There is this right here. All right, this has been changed. Good. I saw earlier 5 o'clock in the bulletin at 6:30. I know that there are some area-wide events going on, so we've pushed it back just a little bit. In hopes that doesn't conflict too many people, and we hope that you'll come. It won't be a long meeting. We are streamlining some things this year, so I think we can get in and get out pretty quick. But I'm asking all leaders, especially new leaders, but it would be nice for even our new leaders to see as many of the older leaders to be here at 6:30. Let's gather up. Let's be a source of encouragement to each other. Pray for one another. Leave with a bundle of info that will help us run our ministries this year. And that's at 6:30 this evening. At 6 o'clock on Wednesday is our dinner. Come. Please share in that dinner, fellowship dinner. At 7 is our prayer time. I can't overemphasize, I've never done this before, so I'm just telling you in real time that I am growing in this area of prayer for the 1040 window. I can pray, and I have prayed for the 1040, but never specifically. I'm praying for every country now, and I pray for that country for a whole week at a time. It's changing me as I think about these people and the battles that they're up against. And it overwhelms me sometimes when I realize what they're up against. I mean, we're up against a lot of things here, but let me tell you, to live in a restricted country or a hostile country has been defined by the voices of the martyr. It's eye-opening to realize that 3/4 of our world's population lives in these countries, and they can't worship freely. They can't pray and get a hold of a Bible without fear of persecution. It's awful. It's awful, awful, and we need to just develop that part of our prayer ministry in our own lives, and so I'm just encouraging you. I realize that some of you can't be out as late as we are sometimes on our night that we have our Bible study and prayer time afterwards. But not the last Wednesday. Wednesday, we start at 6. 7, we start with our prayer, and we're done. Just done right as soon as that prayer, usually about 8 o'clock, so that you're not out late. And we hope that you'll understand that the focus is right here. It's that 10:40 window. It's praying for our world, one country at a time. I don't know how many we've done, about 12, I like to think, or so. How many we have? About 100. It's going to take us a while. But we're going to pray for every country by name for a week at a time. And I hope that we can one day stand at that banquet and know that there are 1040 recipients who may even know. Thank you for your prayers. It made all the difference in the world. It helped us in our battles. I look forward to that day, to know that I was part of harvesting the fields through prayer for that window as best I can. All right, anything else? Yeah, Joe.
I would just like to say that as you heard this past Thursday, I had my follow-up appointment with my surgeon, and he started off by telling me, I can't believe you can talk as well as you can talk, number one. And number two, he said, the surgery went better than we could have ever expected. And I can tell you right here and right now as I stand, would have never taken place without all of your prayers. We fought this battle. Actually, it wasn't a battle. The battle was won a long time ago. We started this in October of last year. And when we went through this, we knew that, actually, we didn't know. Becky asked me, I remember her asking me on the way to the Friday for the surgery, she said, are you nervous? I said, no. She said, why not? I says, I don't know what I don't know. So we reached our hands out and felt God take us by the hand and take us through each step. And I can tell you, the surgeon that I had, and I told him multiple times to his face that he was sent to me by God. He even took the time, we had two surgeries, he actually held my hand as I prayed before each surgery. And he said, you're a model patient, everything went well. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for your prayers. Now, I graduated a little bit because when I was sitting in the hospital room, my daughter told me I talked like a cartoon character when I started talking. I think I've graduated a little more to a human being, but there's still a long way to go. I had no idea and took for granted for a simple swallow that took out a lot of the base of my tongue. I had to learn how to swallow all over again. It may mean that eating as simple as some mashed potatoes that it takes me 3 times to swallow, but I'll take as many times as I need to take to get past this. And again, thank you. And most of all, my beautiful bride, who was there by my side, as I came home, she fed me through a feeding tube until it was time for the tube to come out. So now it's time as we move forward. As I've been told by many people, God's not done with me yet. So look out. I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah. How many saw Jonathan over here? How many have seen his twins? A few. Are we going to have them come out? Not right this moment, but we're going to be able to see them, right? Not going to slip out on the side door there on us. All right, so if you hang around, if you haven't seen the twins, it's nice to have them there. All right, I see a finger going to somebody. Uh-oh. Who are we pointing at back there? Is there anybody back there that wants to claim something? Linton Fiddler Senior. Is it that time already? We just did this, didn't we? I thought we just celebrated your birthday. You mean is that time again already? Well, did you get a year older or are you still the same? All right, so Eileen Gunderson, can you share with us what year she
celebrated? Because I know she's getting up in years.
That's my mom, Eileen Gunderson. She's going to be 95 on Wednesday. My dad's still alive, too. He's going to be 98 in April. They've been married 74 years. Mom is home. They're both home, and they're alive and well. And their phone number, I think, is still in the directory. If anybody wanted to call her, she'd usually sit and by her phone, if you want to say happy birthday to her, she'd probably really like that. But she'll be 95 on Wednesday.
Wow.
It was their church way before I came here. They brought me here, and I came reluctantly as their driver. And I'm here.
Yeah, she tried to shun us the first few weeks when she was here, but glad she stayed. When we go, Eileen's celebrating 95. You're probably just a young kid. So how old are you? How old are you?
Just 84.
Just 84. Any anniversaries? No. Bob's a good example. You know, Bob admits it, but it's his birthday. His name just goes up. Anniversary just goes up. How many years?
54.
54 years.
Yeah.
You know, some are slithering down in your seat. You know, Bob, right up there. There you go. 20 seconds. You'll be set. Bob again. So, we'd say 54? 54 years. All right, so let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lynn and Lee. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Marilyn from Ohio. Are you still in Ohio? You still claim Ohio? Well, just know we got a Bob from Ohio too back there. Bob, Marilyn up here, Snowbird. All right. Sometimes they don't always know who's from what state, but we're glad. You're not coming back. Well, that's sad to hear. And you know, your husband told me that for about 10 years. He wasn't coming back every year.
Four years,
yeah. All right, well, it's good to have you back with us. Those that know Marilyn, she's given us warning that this is her last time. And thank you for letting us know that. And thank you for coming and sharing with us, and have the Cox family with us as well. Thank you for coming. If you want to see someone that's grown 4 feet, yes, at least 4 feet since I've seen him last. All right, so it's good to have our guest with us and share with us. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed for the word break. Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for this time that we can talk about what is dear to your heart. We know that when your son came, he was fulfilling the mission that you sent him on. See if you can save the lost. We all, Father, are lost here in this room, and someone sought us out. And we
thank you for it. We're saved because someone made the effort to harvest the fields. Now may we, in turn, Father, be willing to go and harvest some fields ourselves and help bring in that harvest into your storehouses. We know that that's important to you, and we want to do those things that bring honor and glory unto you. To that end, we pray, Father, for open doors, opportunities, and give us the boldness and the strength to do what we need to do. We thank you that Teresa Smith has put Satan on notice, Father, by her decision today. She is resolved to make a decision that is so important in her life. We pray that nothing, absolutely nothing, can get in the way of this process. We've done our due diligence. We've set up appointments. We've made everything ready, and we just need your protection from the evil one. That there's no distractions, that there will be no coincidences that seem to pop up, and that next Lord's Day we will see a child of God, Father, come up out of the waters of baptism as a new creature, a new Christian, a babe in Christ, needing the attention and the care of your people. And we thank you that we'll be able to witness that in real time. Thank you again for this day, and just be with us now as we depart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's close with this closing song. Thank you.